us is even when we weren't winning, we play hard every night.
Kachuk busting in, scores! Brady Kachuk, he's got the Gordie Howe, scores! Oh, what a setup by Stützle, what a finish from Batherson.
Oh my goodness.
Norris moving in, stop, drops, fires, scores! Drops it, Chabot with a shot, scores! Back the other way, here comes McDavid busting in! Can't get it by DeCord. Sends it across. Oh, what a save by Gustafson.
Oh, that's not real. That's an alien thing there.
Toffoli, backhand, forehand. Save is made by Murray. Stützle busting in. The net is empty. Scores. Empty net goal. Seals the hat trick for Timmy Stu. Formanton scores. Scores. Nick Paul. Stu cuts in. Scores.
Ransom with a shot.
Scores. Fires right on loose puck. Scores. Shane Pinto. Quick shot and scores. Connor Brown goes 8-8.
Oh my God. How fun is this? Oh my gosh, I'm having too much fun. Take a break.
TSN 1200.
Always good stuff with our play-by-play crew. Dean Brown, Gord Wilson wrapped it up last night. Great season from them. And there you go. Did you, Hammer, purposely leave out anybody from your montage there that seemed to touch on all? Who didn't get a shout-out there?
Colin White didn't get a shout out.
Okay. What about Artie Party?
I didn't. No Artie Party.
Okay.
Oh,
what about Tierns?
Oh, absentee daddy.
Yeah.
He didn't get one.
That enough with the, you know, arguably the game of the year was the big comeback win over the Maple Leafs. And he had the block shot in his own end, goes down, scores the overtime winner.
I only had so much time.
That sounds like excuses to me.
You. All right. Cards on the table here. JR, keep that top of the hour intro no longer than a minute. I've had 90 seconds before, and you have this insane inner clock that absolutely knows when things go a little bit too long.
Yes.
So I make it a point
to
keep it as tight and bright.
Do I?
And if daddy's got to be on the cutting room floor, daddy's on the cutting room floor.
Sometimes the best things are on the cutting room floor.
Okay.
Exactly. I'm not here to argue. I'm just asking. That's all I'm doing.
And it's all about adjustments as well, Hammer. Let's remember, JR no longer takes the 90 seconds between getting his coffee and while that background music plays.
Yeah.
He's actually very quick. Does his sports, gets his coffee, and slides right in there almost always now as soon as your nice little intro has been put together and right in to start the show.
Very spry because I've got my new Skechers on. So I'm very, very light now. My
You're going, see, exactly. The fact that you're following in the footsteps of the Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
Tony Romo, man. He sold me on the Skechers.
Him and what's his name? Mr. Long. He's been on that forever, right?
Yeah. Who? Sorry, Howie Long?
Howie's been doing it forever.
Is he a Skechers guy?
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's always talking about in the airplane and how he's got the space.
I got to say, you know, I like me a nice light shoe. I don't mind that.
I have my Skechers on. I'm very fleet of foot.
Very spry.
Yeah.
Very spry with the Skechers.
There's certain brands, and again, just my interpretation, and they do look great on you. I just can't get over
it. Can't do it?
Well,
that's okay.
Here's a couple of things. I wear casual shoes, and I have a couple of Under Armour pairs that I walk around, and they're actually nice to walk around, and I never do anything. When it comes to the fitness standpoint, I have to have Asics, otherwise I get the old shin splints. So a bit of a fine line there, but from a fashion standpoint, I think they're looking pretty solid.
Thank
the
you.
Other part, and again, I'm a bit older, I also see where the old full white runners come back, JR. I can't get my head around on that. The odd person, it looks pretty solid on.
The old
but
Stan Smith.
Yeah, well, you know, or a lot of that shiny white, I just kind of look. I said, yeah, I'm probably just not able at this point to pull that bad boy off.
Especially with those solid, really, really white legs you got going on, as you mentioned, that you brought out for the first time yesterday.
Yeah. Legs tend to move pretty quickly, though. For whatever reason, you know, the tan on that or kind of the coloring covered up by the hair, not bad. It's just the rest of the body. You know, when the tarp comes off right now, it's just like, man, I'm kind of hiding there. High towel, still a little bit of a high towel until I kind of get myself in top shape. So combination of slimming out, a nice little tan there, then I'll be ready to rock and roll.
What about Josh Brown? Did he get any mentions in your montage?
Josh Brown.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Braden Coburn. Goals. Sorry, Cedric Paquette.
They'll be doing songs about Josh Brown playing on a broken leg. You know, just like, is it Bobby Bond?
Bobby Bond.
You know,
and I
know
he scored a Stanley Cup winning goal, though,
with a
broken leg.
Well, but let's not get, you know, technicality, sir. Still got through the third period.
Was there a guy that came and went more anonymously, though, than Cedric Paquette?
Nope.
Was there one thing that he did in his time here?
Yeah. Well, I know he tried to get his dogs into town, and the only thing I could think of is how pissed off he was when he got the phone call. That was the only thing. And then, again, take people behind the scenes. The text messages that would have been coming from his Tampa Bay teammates. Like, let's be honest here, JR. Right?
Hey, you going first or worst?
Well, and you're also going in the middle of the winter. Yep. Like, and the boys are out having the Stanley Cup party on jet skis and yachts on the Intercoastal, and you're firing up on the frozen canal in Ottawa. So, no, he would go right into, and I always felt that about that Jimmy O'Brien fella. Like, he was kind of here, wasn't there? I would also put him in.
At least Jim O'Brien made a play.
Yeah.
He dropped a pass to Kyle Turris for an overtime win in the playoffs.
But just as far as people, if you put them into the lineup at the local police station, I'd probably have my power ranking. Our good friend Jonathan Davidson, who somehow got 12 games in this year with no points. He was the last cut from Columbus a couple of years ago. There are guys that have come through. And again, what was the fellow they picked up on waivers? It was Guy Boucher's guy. He's very anonymous as well. He came through. Yeah. There's a few guys along the way, like you said, you'd never remember. The brothers that are in the National Hockey League, the ones playing in Edmonton, he slid through on a little bit. There's all these different players, as you said, that kind of fill out or slide in for a short term that you have no recollection that they ever played anywhere, you know, ever end up playing for the Ottawa Senators.
The crazy thing about Cedric Paquette is he ends up with a little pit stop in Ottawa, right back with the Stanley Cup contender in Carolina. And this was when they made the trade, and it ends up being an okay trade at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know what? And I thought when they made the trade, it was like, okay, they dumped some salary in terms of, you know, players that weren't going to play for Tampa.
Yeah,
it worked out for both teams. And I thought they'd be able to, I thought Paquette would be good enough to be able to flip him for an asset.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't act. And when an asset, I meant a draft pick at the trade deadline. Well, they ended up flipping him out way before the draft pick or way before the trade deadline and brought back Ryan Dzingel, who was actually pretty decent for the first, 10 games?
Well, and he was also refreshing in that he wanted to be here. And also on Paquette and Coburn, I understand, hey, they got a second round pick out of it, JR. So part of that, but you're right. He slid in here, didn't fit, gets an opportunity to end up going somewhere else. And the shift through the season on some of the things that happened here, what turned into in a crazy way of flipping out him, flipping out other guys at the deadline. The other, and I don't mean that, I don't wish injury on anybody. One of the more positive things that happened, unfortunately, was Stepan getting a shoulder injury and almost making what, to me, I was bullish on it, loved it, thought it was going to be great. Another guy said they'd flip out of the deadline. When he arrived, he quite simply was done as an NHL player, in my opinion, and almost the injury just allowed that to go away, where it allowed other people to step up, and slowly, as they started to clean up some of the lineup, move people out, ended up with a really, really refreshing finish.
One of the players that got a mention in your montage, Hammer, that certainly had an uneven year is Matt Murray. And Matt Murray is the subject of our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today, which is this. Who has the most pressure on them for next season? We've got three options. Matt Murray, Pierre Dorion, DJ Smith. So we got a player, we got the coach, and we have the manager. Who has the most pressure on them for next season?
I want you to go first, Jer. You always make me and Hammer go first.
Yeah,
what do you got?
Yeah, I already voted. I voted for Pierre Dorion.
Okay.
And this would obviously be his for me, the main work is done for the manager in the summer.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of pressure on Pierre Dorion this summer to obviously the biggest thing on the agenda is to get the contract done for Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah.
This is something that can't linger into training camp next year, where Brady's not here and he comes in, you know, they do it at the last minute. He comes in late. He's missed training camp. He gets off to a slow start because, you know, he hasn't been like all of that. Like, they need to get that deal sealed and done. That is the number one thing.
But don't you feel like after what you watched last night, though, if he does hold out, you just put Kelly into that slot? Okay.
Drake Batherson needs a contract as well. All right. Yeah, that should be an easier negotiation than Brady Tkachuk, but still it's going to be interesting. What do the Senators decide to do? What does Drake Batherson decide to do for that matter? Right. It's two-way street. Do you go long term? Do you go short term? So there's that. And then I am an advocate of them going out and getting a defenseman. I know you had a discussion next hour. You think they're rolling back with the same crew next year.
Yeah.
I think if they do that, I won't say that forward momentum is stalled, but I think that slows you down. I think they need to go out and And I don't know who the magic person is. I know you said come up with somebody. There's somebody out there. It's an expansion year. There's teams that have protection issues.
No, and I didn't even expect you to have a name, but I only say it. You're right. There are
some free agents out there. You know, Adam Larson, I came up with that. Yeah, I don't know the state of some of these guys' game.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at a right shot D who has played top four, who would fit with a Thomas Chabot. I just think there are, you know, or be creative. Go out there and make a deal with somebody. Offer somebody a deal they can't refuse to. Yeah. They need to upgrade their defense.
Yeah, a Ben Chiarot type, I thought. You know, those little subtle signings, like with Montreal.
Yep.
Like I said, it really, as you said, pressure on your staff to identify and do something shrewd. So you're right. They're out there. It just, as I said, do you have the ability to identify them, and can you get them under contract?
So my vote is for Pierre Dorion.
Okay.
Yours.
Here's interesting. I'll have some fun. I don't think getting contracts for guys is going to be difficult. Now, what's difficult is getting the contract you want. Brady Tkachuk's going to sign a bridge deal, and it's easy for me to overpay in that, JR, right now, where I don't think that's going to be that difficult. So I think Pierre Dorion, to be quite honest with you, all of his work has been done. The question is, would I love to shed White to Dadonov to Tierney going into next year? I would. I don't think that's realistic, but I can build enough of a lineup to be competitive. I think a lot of pieces are in place. You've made your bet if you're Pierre Dorion. DJ Smith, after 2 years, you've learned. You've got a system in place. You got your players. What is very interesting to me, and this is flat out, I know other goaltenders, Gustafson again last night has played well, JR. Matt Murray is the key to everyone's future in Ottawa. If Matt Murray doesn't play well next year, I think the manager and coach are in serious trouble. And we have historically seen lots of coaches get fired because of goaltending. Now, managers, because Pierre Dorion signed the contract, I think the whole fortunes of the franchise, the pressure, to be quite simple, is on Matt Murray. So flat out, I'm going to say Matt Murray is the key to the whole thing. If he's not a $7 million goaltender next year, I know they have some other guys. They have Forsberg. It ain't going to work, and I think that could lead to some people being fired. So I'm going to say Matt Murray.
Okay, all right, and that's a decent answer. I want to circle back to a point you made on Brady Tkachuk and a bridge deal, which I have believed all along is going to be.
Yeah.
And you said, well, if you have to overpay, you overpay.
Yeah.
The only issue with overpaying, and whatever that number may be, and it's a difficult number to come to. Brady Tkachuk, I've said many times, is a unicorn, right? Basing a contract on stats, his stats aren't overwhelming in terms of goals and assists.
Yeah.
You know, they're decent, but not great. But then you add, you add the hits, you add the leadership, you add the intangibles, which is impossible to put of. You know, there isn't a chart out there that says, you know what, you're a great young leader. You're 21 years old, therefore that's worth X million dollars per year.
Yeah,
that's the problem is if you overpay, and again, then you're going to have to down the road. Then you've got to negotiate off that contract that you have overpaid for.
Yeah.
And I'll look no further than his brother.
Yeah,
Matthew Tkachuk signed a 3-year bridge contract with Calgary. He was not very good at all this year. He was invisible he was a very non-Tkachukian year for him.
Yeah.
He disappeared for long periods of stretch. His production is way down this year. Well, I will see what next year brings. He's got another year to get it back, but he's making $7 million next year.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
puts in another year next year like this past year, then you have to negotiate off the $7 million number.
Yeah.
And he's not playing at a $7 million value. That's the problem with overpaying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
no.
I just don't think he can throw. I've advocated blank check, but at the same time, I'm saying no blank check.
No, and a great point. And now philosophically, we'll go over Matthew Tkachuk's contract, JR. He goes 5-7-9. So the problem now for Calgary, if he continues on the path of next year at $9 million, well, okay, Jesus, you know, the qualifying offer is $9 million. You work off of a contract on that. The part on Brady Tkachuk that I would try to do if I'm the Ottawa Senators, I want to do a bridge deal, but it doesn't traditionally have to be crazy, where if I'll work off the number of $21 million, I'll go to Brady Tkachuk and say, listen, I want 3 years and I'll give you $7 million a year. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to kill myself at the end, but I'm going to put the same money into your pocket. That would be the way I would approach a bridge deal with Brady Tkachuk. I don't want to start low and finish where now.
Why would he take a different deal than his brother?
Well, because as you said, is his numbers. He doesn't deserve necessarily to have 5, 7, and 9, where if you track Matthew Tkachuk off of that season, he would say, okay, he's probably in the range of a $9 million player. On Brady, I'd say, listen, I don't have a problem giving you $21 million, but I don't feel I have to be at $9 million at the end of the 3-year deal. So I'll go 3 years at $7 million with you. I think $21 million for where you're at right now statistically, and that'll give us an opportunity to sit down off of $7 million and work out a long-term deal. That's just my philosophical. That's all I'm looking at, JR.
Yep. No, and I can't argue with it.
I'm putting money in your pocket right now. I think $7 million next year for where you're at as a hockey player is very fair. I think $7 million after that. Now we'll philosophically say in year three, I hope $7 million is a bit of a bargain. Then we're going to sit down and say, hey, if I got to elevate you to 8-9, that's okay. But I don't need to be where your brother's at, where it's 5-7 and 9. That's to me where I think you could sit down and find some common ground.
And while I advocate for a bridge deal, I would rather go 2 years than 3 years,
because
3 years get, you know, then you're a year away from unrestricted free agency.
While you're
negotiating off that $7 million number, all the leverage is with the players at that point. He's a year away from unrestricted free agency.
We saw what happened
with Mark Stone.
We were close to a deal
in the summer.
No, I agree.
It'll be no problem. We'll just we'll give him this money for a year. We'll walk him right to free agency.
Yeah.
And we all know how that movie played out.
No, I agree. And the other part for the player is, hey, I'll just take my qualifying offer. Or at that point, the big key is I'm arbitration eligible. And what does that award end up being? Where does the salary scale? And this would also be from a timing standpoint, JR. I believe that the next 3 years will be out of some of the cap, right? The flat cap ends after 3 years, right? So now the salary cap based on the U.S. deal, where does the salary cap go? Where do salaries end up going? So, hey, lots of moving parts. But as I said, I think from Pierre Dorion's standpoint, and I think for Brady Tkachuk, you know, again, whether it's favorable or not for the Sens, I think they get a deal done. And I think on all these guys, they'll end up getting deals done. So most of what is in place, I think, is your lineup. I don't think we're going to see all the signings from last year and all the players brought in. Like I said, in goal, you quite simply have made your bed with Matt Murray. This is a $7 million goaltender for the next 3 years. He had his COVID year. He's got a new family. He's got a new team. He's had a reset. You got a new goalie coach. Okay, excuses are out the door right now. I need you next year, statistically, to be one of the top 10 goaltenders in the National Hockey League. It's as simple as that. And that's why I think the fortunes of the franchise and a lot of people involved, from the coach to the general manager, quite simply lie on the goaltender.
Hammer, who has the most pressure on them for next season? That is our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. Three options: DJ Smith, Pierre Dorion, Matt Murray.
So Dorion for you.
Yeah.
Matt Murray for Simmer. And it's going to be not DJ Smith for me. Sorry, it's not going to happen.
Come on.
I think DJ Smith is walking in pretty confident here. He's got the team. They're listening. They've got the system. But that's not pressure on him per se. All he can control is how he coaches the team, obviously. Mm. And they've ended the season very well.
Just on your DJ Smith point, though, there's no pressure on DJ Smith. They start next year. And he doesn't have a contract extension. They start next year like they did this year. If they're 2-12-1, he's probably getting fired.
Yeah.
So there is some pressure on him if he doesn't have an extension in place.
But not as much as Pierre Dorion, and definitely not as much as my choice in Matt Murray. And Simmer, man, you didn't save me anything to talk about, brother. Yeah, all great points. There's no excuses. No. He does not have any excuses left, right? And you're hoping as well that with the pandemic and COVID and family, that restrictions there will be a little lighter as well. So I think Matt Murray is going into next season with the absolute most pressure.
Yeah, I will. And listen, you guys have made great points. And the default answer, I think the easy answer is Matt Murray.
Easy answer is Pierre Dorion, to be honest with you.
Okay. I think there is pressure on Matt Murray. There's no doubt about that for all the reasons you guys brought up. I will say this, though. I like what I see of Filip Gustavsson. And I'm not saying he's coming in next year and being the number one goalie, but I think there is an alternative here. If Matt Murray does not start next year, if it's along the same lines as this year, where it's very uneven, no consistency. You mentioned, Simmer, that you like Forsberg. I think there's no doubt the coach likes Forsberg. They put him in there, and if whether that's a stopgap in a short term and a guy can just save the savables and gets in there.
Yeah.
I like Gustavsson, man.
Yeah.
I like that goalie. If it doesn't work out with, and I know he's young, I know all that, and he's got no pressure on him because he's coming in as a third guy, all those, goalie 101 things.
I just like the way the guy plays the net, man.
Yeah,
I think there are alternatives for Ottawa in net, and I don't know that at the beginning of this year we could say that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that is the kind of the big if. First of all, Forsberg is on a one-way contract. Now, if you start to stumble out of the gate, are you afforded the ability to suddenly bypass both guys, call up Gustafsson, and hey, I like Decord. Sogard's also played well. So, no, there are certainly parts of it you would end up looking at. And as you kind of categorize each guy, then the three that we're talking about, the other part from an Ottawa side, here's what I would look at if I'm Ottawa. If I'm going into next year and DJ Smith either is on the last year of his deal, or even if you give him another year, I don't think they're making mega money here in Ottawa, JR. Okay, if you get to that, I always say if you're going to fire a coach, what are you going to do internally to end up doing that? And this is also one of the situations, quite simply, if I'm Pierre Dorion, you don't like to have the conversation, but I would have the conversation. I would go to Mr. Mann because I can never remember which one's coach in Belleville and which one's the scout. So I'm just Mr. Mann, the coach of Belleville. I would say to him, listen, I'm going to lock in on a new deal. Basically, what happened in Toronto was with Sheldon Keefe, he couldn't go anywhere, JR, right? They extended his contract. Basically,
they overpaid him as a minor league.
They overpaid him, and Mike Babcock's making money, mega money, but the signal was clearly sent. And the signal that I would be sending to Mr. Mann is, hey, here's an obvious situation here. I don't know where things are headed with my coach. I want you to stick around. I'm going to give you some nice money in the American Hockey League. I'm not going to necessarily give you an NHL deal. But I would put that pressure and I would have that hovering. And I do think that Mann is more than qualified to coach in the National Hockey League, JR. And to the point of, hey, it's easy to say if you don't go well, you might switch out your coach in G.J. Smith. Well, who the hell are you bringing in? Do you know what I mean? You have to have something kind of lined up. And I don't mind putting that pressure on. So I would make sure that Mann is continuing to be under contract. D.J. Smith comes back and really understand, and hey, this is how this is going to work. And I'll even say with Bruce Cassidy, I mean, everyone knew in Boston when he was put on Claude Julien's staff, including Claude, that there's a chance he may be the next coach of the Boston Bruins. You don't like it, but you understand it. Everyone knew in Montreal when Dominic Ducharme came in that at some point, if they make a coaching change, there's a pretty good chance he ends up getting the job.
And I'm not one to argue for your point, JR.
Thank you.
And the same light argue against my point. But Matt Murray and Pierre Dorion are almost tied together, more so for Matt Murray, because if he comes in and starts the season like he did last year, how does that look on Pierre Dorion and that large contract that he signed him to? There's just more pressure there for Pierre Dorion.
By the way, the early results on our poll were close to 300 votes here in the first few minutes. 57% say Matt Murray. They're with you guys. 31% Pierre Dorion and DJ Smith skating. Just 11% say DJ Smith has the most pressure on him for next season.
I wanted to add in other, and you got rid of it, which I totally agree with. But
thank you.
This would not be a question that could not use all of the above. And we're not going to throw it in there because that would probably be the go-to. But I just think it's legitimate. And this is...
You wanted to put in other, like who else do you think is in the other category?
Yeah, I don't think they are. So it was super lame, so I'm glad you kept it out. But on all of the above, for a season that's sitting... If you just told me to step back and you said, since we went into this rebuild and you said to me, remove all of the negative, remove the way the season went. If I said to you of all the picks that they've had, what they have in their system, the fact that they finished the way they did this year, all the young players are the reason they're playing well, and you're going to get a top 10 pick, I'd go into my handbook, JR, for a rebuild, and I would kind of do this on HGTV, and I would kind of equate it to the house you equated yesterday. I'd say job well done. Wow. The manager and coach are in a great spot, but it is all the other moving parts and understanding of the way the season started, all the other things. Like I looked at last year, Belleville was great. You got another high pick. I look at this year, the way it's finished off, but we also know there's a lot of other moving parts. And then we've finally gone into, and we'll have to kind of equate this to a house, and maybe we can get Hammer to build a house or do an illustration, JR. We'll have to figure out what phase we're in, but you're now in a phase where maybe you're putting the house on the market. Now you have expectations, and that's the first time. That's so different, right? There's finally expectations on anybody involved, and with that, that brings pressure on all three parties that we've talked about.
I don't know. To use your analogy, I don't know if we're putting the house on the market yet. To me, we're still in the middle of putting. We're not even staging at this point.
Okay. No. So are we picking out like the backsplash in the kitchen?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Backsplash.
Do we go with the old style cut tub, or do we go with the jacuzzi?
A nice claw tub.
Nice claw foot tub is a great choice. Okay. So what are we doing for? Like, are we going with just basic quarter round? Are we going with the nice finishes around the windows?
Those
are the important details to bring it all home.
Yeah.
And that's before we furnish the thing and then we put it on the market.
That's true.
You're no property brother, my friend.
No, that's a good point. Okay. Now, and we probably, as the season ended, you've just pulled up the carpet and realized there's the old hardwood under there.
Oh, my God. Oh, but they've got water stains.
Oh no,
there's carpenter ants. Oh, my God.
And you have to get the buyer on the phone right now. They have to come down and see the fact that you actually have no footings on your foundation.
So I guess our question for our listeners this morning is this. Do you want to love it or do you want to list it? 7:34. Love your votes. Go to our website, tsn1200.ca. Vote in our Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. Who's got the most pressure on them for next season? DJ Smith, Pierre Dorion, Matt Murray. We'll continue to update you on that throughout the morning. Get your feedback as well. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. We'll have our TSN1200 $1,000 minute coming up before 8 o'clock. Your chance to win $1,000 cash. Sens win 4-3 in overtime to finish the season on a high note. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. 7:41 on this Thursday morning. JR Simmer and Hammer with you. Pierre McGuire is joining us coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. It's garbage bag day for the Sens. In fact, we're looking at the first players becoming available after going through their medicals this morning, and a final discussion with Pierre Dorion and DJ Smith in the next 5 minutes or so. We'll package some of them up and throughout the course of our show until 10 o'clock this morning, and then carrying over into In the Box as well, we'll bring you some of the select season-ending interviews with some of the key players. Are you an expert in your trade but could use an extra hand? Join Handyman Connection. Handyman Connection offers full support in all areas of business, from professional sales support and customer service to field support, scheduling, invoicing, and collections. They take care of the things you don't like to do so you can focus on what you love. Being a part of Handyman Connection means you're connected to an established customer base and jobs in your community with flexible hours. Discover your full earnings potential with one call, one click, one connection, and Handyman Connection. .com. All right, we mentioned that the TSN 1200 $1,000 minute is coming up just before 8 o'clock. We're going to change things up a little bit, but here's where you got to be as a listener if you want to play the game on it as well, okay? Because I want to make sure that everybody, we have a number of people, especially now with a lot of people working from home or just working remotely, period, who listen either on the app or through a smart speaker, and we're on delay. And so when I say, hey, we'll take lucky texter number 60, you wouldn't believe how many people text in. But if you're listening in live time on the radio, right, you have an advantage because you're getting in live time, whereas we have a delay when we're on a smart speaker through the app, 30 seconds, 45 seconds. So to make it fair for everybody, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to say, if you want to play the game, but you have to be available at 7:55, okay? 7:55 is when we'll play the game. So text us right now at 12-1200, just your name, and say, yep, I'm available at 7. I'm available in about 10 or 15 minutes from now to play the contest and win $1,000. All right? And we'll take so this will allow me to go even deeper into the – so I'm going to go with an account by. I can do it by because it's numbered for me. I'll do 190. Lucky texter number 190 will play our $1,000 minute coming up in about 10 minutes from now. So if you'd like to do it, text us 12-1200, standard messaging rates apply. I did the math during the break. I know some people, I got some texts on people wondering where the Sens, now that they're done their season, where they are as far as the draft lottery goes. So as it sits right now, and again, there's a couple more teams that still have a few games to play that Ottawa is just ahead of, LA and Calgary being two, Vancouver still with a shot to catch them. But as it sits right now this morning, Ottawa right now has the 11th best odds. All right. Now, they can be as good as 8th. This includes Seattle, which is guaranteed the 3rd best lottery odds. They can be as good as 8th. They can be as bad as 11th. In all likelihood, they'll be 9th or 10th, if I had to guess. Based on the way the games will probably play themselves out, I think they'll be 9th or 10th in terms of the draft lottery odds. And, of course, don't forget they changed the draft lottery this year. So there's only two winners that go to the top of the heap, not three. So the most you can fall is 2 spots. So I guess worst case scenario for the Sens is they would pick 13th in the draft. obviously, best case scenario, they'd win the draft lottery for once and get the first pick in the draft. In all likelihood, they'll be in kind of the 9, 10, 11 range if all things work out as the odds say that they will.
Yeah, amazing, JR, when you think to kind of off the top of your head, you think, now I know Hughes has been good, but go back to Nico Hischier. Now, the draft at the time, you could look at it, but year to year, right, for teams in the draft lottery, and hey, maybe we've underrated some of the players for this year based on COVID, but generally, in comparison to last year, timing, like imagine if you're the Ottawa Senators and you're the fan base, not that you wouldn't be thrilled, but if you were sitting on picks 3 and 5 for this upcoming draft, how different would the fortunes of your franchise be versus Timmy Stutzle and Mr. Sanderson from last year, right? Like, it's, you know, hey, that's a little bit of the unluck of the draw in certain years. And the only year I've ever been part of a draw, 2 years, sorry, and imagine for Ottawa or for Washington, 1 year we get Alexander Ovechkin winning it, and the other year we get Mr. Volchkov, who it just wasn't a very good draft, right? I mean, that's part of, and it's part of planning for a franchise. But certainly from an Ottawa perspective, the high picks recently that have laid the foundation from the Brady Tkachuks to the Mr. Stutzla to the Mr. Sanderson, boy, not only have they been pretty good drafts, but they certainly hit on all their high picks in recent memory.
Don't you feel that in the from 20 years ago to today, and this speaks to the age of specialization, which I'm not a fan of, but I think what's happened is it has allowed the best of the best of the best of the young kids to walk in and be almost insta NHLers. Now, a lot of kids have fallen off because of the pressure to, to go into a sport full time at 11 years old or whatever. And for some kids, it's like, I'm sick of it, and they never see their potential. And that's the unfortunate thing. But I think for the few, it's a benefit because they're all in from off season training to playing, doing it 12 months a year. To nutrition, to everything. Like, the top kids are better than they've ever been before.
Yeah, not only are they better, JR, but I think you can weed out the pretenders from the contenders so that you have a pretty good idea. When you talk about Timmy Stutzle, and here's back to when I was drafted in 1986, but even part of the drafting, I mean, I would say 90% of even the first rounders back in the day, very few of them had worked out. Very few knew anything about nutrition. It was such a wild card as to, were they going to figure it out? Were they going to do it? Do you know what I mean? Where most of the kids now, you know, they're with a Tony Greco. They're training. They've gone to a nutritionist where you look at them and say, okay, Timmy Stutz is a pro. He's doing all this stuff. He's in the gym. He's training. I can see kind of the path. Not that there isn't a wild card, and I'll use a guy like Sam Bennett with the Calgary Flames. You know, there's some kids that you kind of say, okay, they haven't figured it out yet, but most should, and if they haven't, they can't really fool you now. So I think you're absolutely right, and I think it has minimized some of the risk because you are dealing with the best athletes, and if the best athlete has figured it out, for the most part, they're going to be a pretty good pro. Maybe they don't meet expectations, but they are going to play, versus back in the 80s and 90s, I mean, you just flat out had two-thirds of the first round that never even made a dent, and I don't think it's quite as bad as it used to be.
Okay, 7:48. Sens win 4-3 in overtime over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Josh Norris gets the game winner just 9 seconds into extra time set up by Brady Tkachuk as he forces a Mitch Marner turnover. So it was a great end for Sens fans to the season. And here was Connor Brown, who got another shorthanded goal last night and his summation to the season.
It's nice to win the last one of the year always. Go out on a good note. And I think we... I think us and the city of Ottawa have a lot to look forward to for next year.
There you go. Now, I got to follow up on that. I have a text from Tim who writes, "All right, settle down, fellas. The Senators would not have made the playoffs had this been an irregular 82-game season. I get you need to pump the tires of the Ottawa fan base, but you can tell when teams are not motivated to play a bottom-tier team." That comes from Tim.
You know what, Tim? I don't even know what a bottom-tier team is watching the Canadian division. And again, when we get to our playoff picks, they might be a little surprised, but when you watch the Winnipeg Jets, the Montreal Canadiens, the Calgary Flames in Vancouver down the stretch, JR, I don't care what they're doing against Ottawa. I'd certainly go to the depth chart and say, are they even better than Ottawa? Edmonton, Mr. McDavid, if we could have him either kidnapped or injured, well, then I'll take my chances. Toronto, I think Toronto, there's no doubt. I'll agree on Tim's point. I don't think the Toronto Maple Leafs this year have taken the Ottawa Senators very seriously, but you play the games. Now, we can get into an argument for next year. You have expectations. You're also going to head back into your other division, and until we really see what that division looks like, JR, you know, hey, let's go through it when we get to next fall. They were trending in the right direction. They were a much better hockey team where you know, I don't disagree with what Connor Brown's saying there. And that's as much that, yeah, I don't think a lot of the teams are that much better. I will accept the argument on Toronto, but with the rest of the clubs, no. And as far as Edmonton, well, if they didn't have to play Edmonton this year, they probably would have made the playoffs.
Yeah. 0-9. Yeah. Did you say kidnapping Connor McDavid to Ottawa?
No, in Ottawa would be an absolute dream come true. Yeah.
Thank you, Connor. Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Taking you back to 2014.
Yeah, you know, and I'll talk to Jeff Jackson on behalf of the people of Ottawa. Maybe we'll have a meeting and a recruitment, much like Dougie Hamilton, but I'm not considered to be a tamperer. But when you look at Edmonton, where they're trending, in a couple of years when Ottawa's in a really good spot, that may be the case, JR, where he just quite simply wants to be a part of bringing the Stanley Cup to the nation's capital. And we're talking kind of a Gretzky thing. You know, I don't know how many rare coins Eugene Melnick has or how much money he has, but it might even be the ability to purchase Connor McDavid and bring him here to Ottawa.
KFC texts in at 12-1200. Your poll is wrong. Although this will happen this summer. The most pressure is on Eugene Melnick when the Rangers signed Brady Tkachuk to an offer sheet, as suggested by our friend Mr. Simpson last week. Guys walking away from explosions.
You know what? And
now, is David Quinn's firing in the Rangers, has that poked a bit of a hole in your theory? The BU connection?
No, because I've always kind of pointed more to Chris Drury, which is more interesting, JR. I just wonder from a standpoint of, I kind of thought Chris Drury, I was surprised when David Quinn got hired, JR. David Quinn is a college coach, had been an assistant for years, was really not that good of a head coach. So, no, I still think based on lots of things, I watched Chris Drury play, man, at BU, and I think someone said to me on the weekend, Chris Drury wasn't a hard hockey player. One of the best hockey games I've ever watched was a Frozen Four in Milwaukee in 1997. Top-ranked Michigan rolls in. Mr. Drury and DJ and BU just pounded the crap out of that hockey team. This guy played hard. So I'll still stay the course with that one for now, with Drury kind of where that's going to go. But I don't know if we want to augment our poll, but I'll say that's a pretty darn good point. I would say along with our three, and I was going to say, I do put Mr. Melnick right in that same category of how the fortunes of the franchise, both on and off the ice, are going to be handled.
Yeah.
I do think that there is quite a bit of pressure on ownership because you are entering the phase now, and they were pretty bullish last year on getting Murray, getting Dadonov, buying out Bobby Ryan. Now the next layer here to start really making the commitment to the fan base. So part of agreement is on that, and we'll have some fun with the offer sheet if it happens.
Spending close to the cap is the quote from Eugene Melnick back in 2018, when the time is right. So that was supposed to be 20 on parallel success with 2021 to 2025. We'll say things have been pushed back for a lot of teams because of COVID and this being a crazy year.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we postpone everything for a year or even two, time is drawing. The time is nigh, as Eric Carlson was once asked for this spending close to the cap.
Yeah, and, you know, funny as you go through, and one of the listeners, good friend of mine, Mark Bergeron, is a big listener, big fan, and I saw last night he put on that he's going to get season tickets. It's going to be also interesting, JR, as you start to look at the USC TV money. I don't factor anything in with the Seattle expansion money because that's a one-off. Whatever the owner wants to do with that, but when you look at the finances of any team now, the amount of media money that's coming to a lot of hockey teams puts them in a real good spot that if you're Ottawa and the business side starts to really respond, both from the corporate and the ticket side, it'll be interesting to kind of look or at least kind of project where the books are at and financially, what are you capable of spending without reaching out and having to stroke a check yourself?
Right. Well, yeah, and don't forget there was $21 million that came from Seattle, the expansion money.
And the only, and I made that point, that this is the only the only thing I'm saying on that, Jared, is it's a one-off. So, okay, you can put it into the books, but it's not like it's, you're getting $21 million. But, hey, when you look at really all the media money, and as I said, if the business does respond, the Ottawa Senators and every other hockey team should be in a pretty good position on a flat cap for the next 3 years.
All right. There was one play last night, Brady Tkachuk ended up taking it was an offsetting penalty. It was in the second. Remember, he got in a bit of a dust up. He went into the crease and poked at it. And then who was it that came? Was it
Foligno?
Was it Foligno?
Yeah.
Anybody explain to me why Brady, I don't understand why sometimes he gets a penalty. He's in the middle of a lot of stuff. Why he got a penalty on that play in particular taking a bunch of rabbit punches in the head.
Yeah,
that was one time that he actually didn't poke back.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, why was that offsetting penalties?
Any reason why you thought he didn't want to fight? Is it Foligno? I end up saying it wrong all the time. Foligno. Yeah, I kind of
why he didn't want. Maybe he just wanted to play last night.
Okay.
He certainly didn't shy away. I mean, somebody tweeted at me last night and said, "Looks like Kachuk's kind of shying away from contact tonight." And I said, "Are you kidding me?" Yeah. I mean, Kevin Bieksa, the whole first intermission was on Bieksa saying they got to put Simmons out with Matthews and Marner because Kachuk is running wild. He's hitting Matthews. Yeah. He hit Marner into the gate when it was open. Yeah. Took a penalty, which was marginal. A marginal call, probably sold a little bit by Mitch Marner. So I didn't think that Brady Kachuk was shying away.
He ended up with six hits. He never does. The only thing on certain nights, JR, is that if he's tracking the play a little slower, it's hard for him to finish guys off. You know, I thought he had his legs against, well, he always does against Montreal. I thought he was good last night. But no, he never shies away. And I'll say that for Foligno. The one thing I always loved when he was here in Ottawa, JR, I always thought that he knew the timing to try to step up. And he felt that last night.
He was sending a message.
He knew that, hey, you know what?
Around with our boy,
yeah,
my boys.
Yeah, I'm here for a reason, and you had that. I just thought the Marner call was real cheesy. He kind of sold that and was whining away as he kind of bumped him on the bench, and he fell down and had that little smirk on his face as to, hey, what are you doing hitting me?
There you go. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will play TSN 1200's $1,000 Minute. 10 questions, 60 seconds. I'll be counting very quickly to lucky texture number 190 at 12-1200. Again, standard messaging rates apply when you text us for the contest. We'll come back. We'll play the game next. And then Pierre McGuire will join us, and we'll wrap up the Sens season with him just after 8 o'clock this morning. Sens win 4-3 in overtime over the Leafs. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.